When the Boston Bruins beat the Vancouver Canucks in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals on Wednesday night, Bruins fans got their first opportunity in 39 years to celebrate the return of the Cup to Boston. After Game 6, Mark Recchi, the 43-year-old Bruin who'd previously played on Cup winners in Pittsburgh and Carolina, had the perspective to discuss the impact winning would have on Boston's fans.
You know, 70-72, the last time the city got to see a Stanley Cup, and I mean, this is a great sports town, great hockey town, and, you know, obviously it'd be pretty remarkable. I mean, there's been a lot of success here with the other sports teams, and the Bruins included, but it's been a long time.
Of course, perspective is all, or perspective and geography are all. Each winner leaves a disappointed loser behind. Before that happened on Wednesday night, Damian Cox, who writes about hockey for the Toronto Star, speculated on what winning the Cup would mean for the Canucks, a franchise that has never experienced that thrill.
Vancouver doesn't really have another team that they can lean on. It's really been decades of heartbreak, of being close, of sort of being a bit of a star-crossed franchise in a lot of ways. And from that perspective, winning the Cup in a place where the team has an unusually large attachment to the city, I think would probably be bigger in Vancouver.
Maybe so. But the Vancouver Canucks only came into existence in 1970. By then, a certain baseball team in Chicago had already been enduring a championship drought for 62 years. And that drought is still in progress. Alex Gertzma, now a doctor in Connecticut, began attending Cubs games with his father when he was 7 in 1955. He most recently saw them in an interleague game.
It so happens I was in Fenway on the Friday that the Cubs came in, and I wore both my Cubs Ernie Banks jersey and a Red Sox hat. Everybody seemed to welcome us as though we were long-lost brethren.
Since it's been over 100 years since the Cubs have been champions, I asked Dr. Gertzma if he ever thought about finding another favorite team.
Well, only every season. You know, I mean, every now and then what will happen is I'll say, I'm not going to look up the scores. They're in a terrible losing streak. It's not going to happen this year. And then, of course, what they do is they have a few games where they win, and then I get hooked all over again. I guess it's an addiction.
It's a sad tale, certainly, albeit one oft-told. But sports fans from Chicago have had champions to cheer. Michael Jordan's Bulls nearly retired the NBA's Larry O'Brien trophy, and the Bears won a Super Bowl in 1986. In at least one other city of several pro teams, that sounds pretty good. I'm thinking Cleveland, of course, where, according to Cleveland Plain Dealer columnist Terry Pluto, drought doesn't begin to describe the situation.
I think scorched earth is really what you're looking for, Bill. The last time a major sports franchise here won a title was 1964, when the Browns won the NFL title. Notice I didn't say Super Bowl. There was no Super Bowl in 1964. The Browns have not even been to the Super Bowl to lose in the Super Bowl.
The Indians were losers in the 95 and 97 World Series. The Cavaliers were swept out of the 07 NBA Finals, and those were the high points. When you've endured a stretch like that with your teams, do you find yourself rejoicing with fans in cities that have endured droughts of their own and put their troubled history behind them? Meh, Terry Pluto told me, not so much.
You sit there and go, okay, well, there's two more teams that won a title before any of our teams did. And that list gets smaller and smaller. And that then all usually inspires a few emails that I get from fans saying, well, I see a championship before I die, and I always write back, how many decades do you plan to live?
Winning a championship can inspire stupid and destructive behavior. We saw that in Detroit when the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup in 2008 and in 2004 when the Red Sox finally brought a World Series title to Boston for the first time since 1918. Losing a championship series can set off a portion of the fan base, too. It happened this week in Vancouver. But according to Terry Pluto, fans in Cleveland may be too numb for excess. He told me that after the Indians lost in 97, everybody just went back to work. Despite a strong start, the Indians are not likely to find themselves in the World Series this fall, and nobody's picking the Browns for the next Super Bowl. Fans of the Cavaliers have to be content that ex-Cav LeBron James and the team he joined in Miami didn't win either. But should the world wag on long enough, on some distant day, those Indians will win, as will the Browns and the Cavaliers. The same goes for the Buffalo Bills and the Sabres, the Lions, the Bengals and the Padres, and even those apparently blighted Cubs. Certainly it will happen, and the champagne will run in rivers down Waveland Avenue, or at least the beer will, flowing over and around the celebrating Cubs fans, some of whom never thought it would happen, and they will turn to each other, and they will say, "Championship drought? What championship drought? Look somewhere else for your drought." It's 19 minutes past the hour. "Rings are done," said Mark Cuban, the owner of the NBA champion Dallas Mavericks. Mr. Cuban was suggesting that he might give his players something other than rings to commemorate their triumph over the Miami Heat. Finals MVP Dirk Nowitzki, for one, was not happy with that development. "We got to talk to him about that," Nowitzki said. "He always wants to do something different, but I mean, the ring is just so classic." Speculation about Mr. Cuban's initial intentions ran the gamut from bracelets to huge jewel-encrusted championship belts, which only the larger players would have been able to lift, let alone wear.
"Sparkles, spangles, my heart will sing, sing-a-ling-a. Wearing the..."